iPhone photography fans, welcome to the first episode of The Tiny Shutter, the podcast devoted to iPhone photography. We're going to start real quick with some brief introductions and then get right into the show. My name is Keith Tharp. I own a small photography business, handling small portrait clients and also do some promo work for an event management company here in New Hampshire. I've been an iPhone user from the very beginning. I'm currently using an iPhone 4, holding my breath for the iPhone 5. And I also host the Camera Campus podcast, which you can find over at cameracampus.com. I'll be sharing the hosting responsibilities here at Tiny Shutter, the Tiny Shutter podcast, with Mark Sadowski. And here's Mark to tell you more.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Mark Sadowski, and this suddenly sounds like an AA meeting. My name is Mark Sadowski. I am the host of the Lens Wipe podcast. You can find that at lens-wipe.com. I am also a full-time wedding photographer and graphic designer. That's right. I do not sleep. And I've been an iPhone user for 480 days. Okay, that's a bad joke. That's out of taste. But I've been an iPhone photographer ever since the iPhone 4 rolled out, when I saw that very magical moment where Steve Jobs said, "Look at the wall. These were taken with the phone," and I wet myself a little bit.
Back when he referred to the iPhone 4 as just like a Leica.
I honestly didn't hear anything after that point.
And also sharing some duties with us here is Matt Hoffman. Matt, how are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you very much. Hi everyone. I'm Matt Hoffman. Unlike Mark and Keith, I do not make my primary living from photography. However, I do work in some aspect in photography, primarily selling landscape prints. I also photography to a couple adventure-oriented magazines, like Backpacker Magazine and Outside Magazine. I have been an iPhone user for probably about 10 months now, and really jumped into the whole iPhone photography with both feet. I was hooked the second I took my first picture with an iPhone.
Do you hear that, people? He takes his photos with his damn feet. That's how good of an adventurer he is. That's why he's on the show.
That's why he's on the show. Perfect. All right, so we're going to have three segments in this show. There's going to be news, there's going to be the feature of the week, there's going to be our focus points, and then we're going to have our closing. So really only three main sets of the show, and news is going to try and stay very current. And so let's start off the news today, guys, with
Until we find something better.
God, I wish you would have warned me. That's like kind of like a little 70s porn music on speed. All right. So
that's what we're going for, right?
That's where we were going, definitely. So news this week.
Oh, I got the wrong notes. I'm sorry.
What? What notes? Damn it. News this week is very very numbers oriented. A lot of big impressive numbers in the news. Let's start out with Apple announcing over the weekend that they hit 25 billion downloads from the App Store. And a couple hundred of them are from me.
Did you feel that over this weekend it was like a lottery where you found yourself trying to download more than usual just to see if you'd be the 25 billionth person?
Fortunately, I didn't even know about the $10,000 gift card until after it had passed by, because I probably would have sat there and just started downloading a lot of stupid crap.
A guy from China won the prize, and he downloaded a free Disney app.
Yeah, he downloaded I actually have the Disney app, the American version of the Disney app he downloaded. The kids downloaded it months ago.
Yeah.
That makes me cry a little bit.
Well, here's my thing about that. 25 billion downloads is obviously huge, but that $10,000 gift card, it would be nice if it was a $10,000 Apple gift card and not just an App Store gift card, because $10,000 is a butt ton of money to try and spend on apps alone.
Let me tell you something. $10,000 will buy you a lot of iMacs, MacBook Pros, MacBook Airs, or 3G5s.
If you had $10,000 to spend on the App Store, where would you go first?
Oh my God, I don't know. You know what? I'd probably download every single movie.
I don't think you can get movies though. I don't think you can use it. That's my point. Is I don't even think you can use it at iTunes. I thought it was just for the App Store.
But that's all hooked up into the App Store. That's all hooked up to the same thing.
I don't know.
You know what? It's not going to affect us.
No, because we don't have to worry about it. The reason I brought it up is I was just thinking about the fact that I have probably over the course of the past 3 years or however long I've had my iPhone spent with iTunes and with the App Store and with the other assorted things that are involved with those, not including my MacBook and the iPhones and all that kind of stuff. I probably haven't even come over $500 or $600. So anyway, moving on, more big numbers. Instagram hit 25 or passed actually surpassed 25 million users this weekend.
This is going to be huge, and I really think it's going to tie into the other little bit of information that we're going to talk about later on, because I just heard of an interesting revenue model that they could do with their 25 million users.
Did you hear the other interesting, very interesting stat about Instagram hitting 25 million? In that over 9 million of that 25 million has happened since this most recent Christmas?
That makes sense, with a lot of people buying new iPhones.
The app itself is just barely over a year old. It's like, I don't know, 14 or 16 months old. It's just barely over a year old. It's hitting 25 million, and almost 10 million of that 25 million have come in the past 4 months.
This is an app that has really made photography so much fun in a casual way, and it's also infuriated so many asshole photographers. Can we say asshole?
Sure.
Okay.
We will now list the podcast as explicit.
No, I think it's only when you drop the F-bomb. Oh. If you're listening to this at 10:30 at night, then you're all right.
I think a-hole warrants the explicit. Matt, how long have you been on Instagram?
Honestly, I think it was one of the first photo apps I bought. So I think it is since July.
You mean downloaded, because you didn't pay for it, did you?
I suppose not.
My cousin Vinny gave me a good deal.
It's hard to keep straight which ones I paid for and which ones I didn't.
Yeah, well, as long as you didn't pay for this one, because then somebody was taking you down the railway there. I got Instagram. It was way back, if you remember, it was App of the Week on LensWipe is probably about a week or so after I had gotten it. And I was heavy into it at that point. I was like, oh my gosh, Instagram's so amazingly awesome. And then I petered out of it for months and months.
Yes, same here.
And then just, I don't know, maybe about a month and a half ago or so, I've kind of picked it back up again and taken it a little bit. Not really, I don't mean seriously, but I've taken it a little more like, okay, once a day I'm going to go in, I'm going to check the feed, I'm going to post a picture and move on. Kind of the same way I deal with Twitter. And I mean, it's actually very, the program itself is very Twitter-esque.
Yes. I find, I kind of had the same experience as you, where I took it up, reviewed it for the show, and after that I kind of dropped off. And it wasn't until you reintroduced me, and I think it was sooner than that, because I was doing it over the summertime.
Can you touch on the you mentioned a revenue model? Can you touch on what you were referring to?
Well, one of the things that I'm all like on the other show, we talk about, one of the questions was how Instagram makes money, and right now it's being funded by Twitter. Actually, there's a lot of investors involved. And I always thought that they would just really, they'd get bought out by Twitter or Facebook, or they would just be some constant investor backing, maybe advertising. But Camera Awesome has shown that there is a huge revenue stream in app purchases. And I think that this is where Instagram is really trying to position themselves as the moneymaker. I think they're going to have a series of in-app purchases. What that is, I don't know, because they've been pretty conservative about the filters that they have.
Right.
And for now, they've been giving that stuff out for free. So whether it's going to be filters or other editing software, things that will interact with Instagram, we'll see. But I think right now they're trying to aim for a launch for the Android operating systems. I think that there's rumor that it's going to happen pretty soon at South by Southwest, because one of the owners is trying to is going to do a keynote there.
That would be interesting. I'd be interested to see what happens to the platform once it hits the Android marketplace.
Well, we can make several jokes there, but
after it's done crashing, I wonder what'll happen.
Yeah, once they're done trying to work the bugs out, then maybe they'll enjoy it. But until then, it's iPhone only.
Right.
But that's the interesting thing, is that it's an iPhone-only app.
It's iPhone-only, and it's hit 25 million in just over a year.
That's remarkable.
It's amazing. Unbelievably amazing. I mean, and I had pulled together a whole bunch of amazing Apple numbers, but I'm going to skip by those. And then I also want to kind of briefly mention that on a future episode, we are going to touch on the Instagram haters. I sent you guys a few links of some more Instagram haters that have been hitting the news lately. So we'll touch on those and see if we can...
Yeah, ease up on that. I can only make so many voodoo dolls.
We'll see if we can approach that topic maturely at a point in the future. Moving on to the next piece of news that will segue us into our feature of the week is Camera Awesome. Now, Camera Awesome is just exactly at 1 week old right now. And at 1 week old, it has hit over 2 million downloads in the App Store in 1 week and over 10 million photos taken in that week. Crap.
Now, why do you think that is?
Don McCaskill this morning, I think, or this afternoon, sent out a statement with some stats. And Don McCaskill, if you don't know, is the CEO of SmugMug. And in that statement, he mentioned the 10 million pictures taken in 1 week with the app and over 2 million downloads of the app out of the App Store. Why do I think it is? That's a pretty interesting question.
I understand why, but I mean, it's just skyrocketed. I've never seen an app grow this fast before.
I think it hits on a secret of successful apps, and that is marketing. SmugMug is placed fairly well in the whole social realm of photography with the reach they have. So I think that the massive amount of traction it got was from the social environment, whether it was Twitter or Facebook or the any number of other places. I mean, it was on TWIP just Saturday or whatever day the TWIP did their last. So I mean, everybody hit it, and I think that in itself, the fact, and one other thing that kind of I thought might be an issue or might be a reason is because it was free, and sometimes people when these free apps hit the social network, sometimes people jump on them really quick because some of these free apps are like free for a day, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. With the traction it got.
Well,
a lot of the blogs dedicated to iPhoneography picked up on it pretty fast too, and that could have, not that there's 2 million people probably reading these blogs, but I'm sure that helped.
Well, I don't buy it, because you look at things like Snapseed and that's actually the only one that pops into
my
mind.
Well, Snapseed's huge. It's not like Snapseed's not huge. Snapseed's, I think, is one of the number one selling photo editing apps.
But it never had this much of a growth so fast, did it?
Well, it wasn't free either.
Well, the difference is Snapseed was $4.99.
But it was free for
2 days.
Was it only 2 days?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the other
Smug
thing.
For the idiots out there, i.e. me, what kind of service does SmugMug have?
SmugMug is a photo hosting site similar to Zenfolio. It was originally, I believe way back, its original goal was to be a place where you could post your pictures. Now, you had to pay for it. And this is back when Snapfish was very, very popular, and similar types of services were very popular, where you could post your photos so that your family could go and see them online. And the difference at that time between SmugMug and all these other places was that you had to pay for SmugMug, and you paid for a very small amount, a nominal amount, whether it was $30 or $40, I don't remember at the time, but you paid that annual fee of $40, and the benefit was that you could go to their, you could send your family to see these pictures without having to get spammed to death. If anybody's ever used Snapfish way back in the day, You couldn't view the pictures without signing up, and then once you signed up, you had to give your email, and then once you gave your email, you got hit with buy 200 pictures prints today, and you get them for 3 cents a piece, or buy a package of 500 prints, or buy a this or buy a that, and it was obscene. So that's why SmugMug themselves got huge traction back then. So basically what they are, and now they've turned into a site where also lots of pros use them, some event photographers, where they host the pictures online and people can go look at the pictures and buy if they'd like to buy the assorted products that are available.
So I wonder if people that are already using SmugMug were the first to hear about it, and maybe if they still have a huge fan base, that's part of the uptick in growth.
Well, sure. I mean, I'm sure it's part of it, but I wouldn't think that took it to where it is all by itself. It was just the, you know, it was just
a thought.
Yeah. I don't think that that's what did it on its own, but they definitely have a loyal fan base. And so anyway, very interesting numbers. And let's just go ahead and use that as our segue into the feature of the week, which is
filler with this. They will get better, I promise.
So the feature of the week is going to be something that happens every week. It's either going to be an app, an accessory for the iPhone, or a news item, or possibly a guest photographer. But basically, all three of us will be joining in on either opinions or reviews of whatever the item may be, or chat with a particular guest. And this week, it is the Camera Awesome app. And I know everybody here has it. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and start off?
Okay.
I was going to say, is Matt still here?
I'm still here, yeah. All right, so the Camera Awesome app, first and foremost, is a exactly what the name implies. It's a camera app.
And it is awesome.
That too. Kind of designed to take the place of the native camera app that comes on the iPhone. One of the advantages that Camera Awesome has over the native app is the ability to separately dictate the focus point and the exposure, and to also lock those points and then recompose the picture if you want to. Going through this app, there's a lot of nifty little features. You could put a level horizon line on the screen that'll show you if your camera is level or not. No, there's so many things that this thing can do. It's kind of hard to break it down concise.
You mentioned the being able to split your exposure and your focus points. That's something that this app here, and I mean, my experience is limited to the native app, Camera Plus, and some of the other more specific camera apps. I don't have any other camera replacement apps other than like panorama apps and crap like that. But I mean, as far as camera replacement apps, which is what Camera Plus is and which is what Camera Awesome is, Camera Awesome kind of beats them both up. Like you mentioned, it has the availability of splitting your focus point and your exposure point, which Camera Plus also does.
Correct.
But it also has the availability of locking that exposure and focus, which the native camera app does. But this does them both. And for anybody who's getting ready to yell at me, Camera Plus can lock exposure. But but once you recompose, it will re-expose the image again. It won't stay with that initial exposure. At least currently in its current form, it doesn't. So by that I mean, like, if you were to take and lock your exposure on a very, 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 very dark area, and then go and recompose with Camera Awesome, you can intentionally overexpose your image if that's what you were shooting for, or the other way around if you wanted to intentionally underexpose. With a point of exposure or focus that isn't in the scene.
Right. And it does video.
Camera Plus doesn't do video?
Nope.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not yet. You can be sure that's going to change soon.
So for me, that is the number one pinnacle point for Camera Awesome.
The camera app in it is – I'm torn between the two aspects of Camera, Camera Awesome. On the one hand, it has a phenomenal photography app where you have the grid system, and then you can change it to the golden ratio, the horizon, as Matt said, the trisec. Those are all pretty cool. They're nifty, and it's kind of makes for a great guideline, especially the horizon tool if you're doing any kind of ocean shot. The video works really, really well, too. I was able to photograph and video my daughter going down the sled over the weekend. It was pretty cool. We have snow, finally, for now.
For now.
The photography app, absolutely brilliant. It's fast. It is able to lock onto the... it's able to focus quickly is what I'm trying to say, very quickly, and take the photo very, very fast too. There's virtually no lag if you have proper lighting. On the other hand, there's the editing stuff. Now, their general editing, where you have just the basic stuff, where you, as they put it, awesomize something, is okay. I like it, but the actual bits of proper editing, such as sharpness, vibrance, contrast, all that, that's kind of buried in there. It looks like it could be easily overlooked by the awesomizer. I'm still not used to saying that.
So, Matt, you actually mentioned that too. My question to you guys, and I haven't done a buttload of editing in it because the interface for me is a little quirky.
Yes.
If you mess with those, like just on the right-hand side of the Awesomizer slider is a little slider icon, and if you click that, it brings up the other thing, sharpness, temperature, vibrance, and contrast.
Yeah, and that's hidden. That wasn't obvious to me.
Right. Are those affected by the Awesomizer slider? After you adjust them, does it then get kind of... does the Awesomizer slider affect those, or
hard to tell?
I find that it's very hard to see the changes when you slide the bars for sharpness and vibrancy. I can't see any difference, so I've just been hitting the done button and then trying to remember what the photo looked like before and after.
I see no difference really with the samples that I just took a few minutes ago. Everything is all about the awesomizing. It's not really, I'm not seeing a difference in any of the other editing options.
We went long on some of our earlier segments, so I want to wrap this up sort of quickly. But Matt, you had mentioned that you were thinking about purchasing some of the filters. Did you go ahead and do that or no?
I haven't. I have so many apps that have similar filters that I hardly ever use. So I just haven't seen where that's going to be worth my while.
Right.
I think the filters are utter crap.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that they're utter crap, but my thing about the it's clear that this is where they were going to make their revenue is in the in-app sales. And, you know, a bunch of people had mentioned, you know, if you go through and buy all this stuff, you're looking at $10. But I've actually heard some estimates that it could be actually much more than that, depending on how you buy and whatnot. So that'll be interesting. I agree, though. The apps that are in there are a little clunky for me, meaning that they seem like they would work great for some pictures. But there's no level of scalability to them. Like, you can't adjust opacity or
yeah, that's my big problem with
yes, it's filters. All or nothing.
Right, and when a filter is all or nothing like that, it for me very very limited as to which image you can actually put it on, and that makes buying one of these filter packs not going to happen for me.
Right, I haven't done any in-app purchases. This is why I think Instagram is so good at it, because their filters, if you choose to use them, I want to say they're not as overwhelming as everything else on the market.
They do.
There are a lot of very subtle filters.
Agreed.
Some are over the top, but not as over the top as everything else on the market right now.
Agreed. I find them very subtle, and they seem to work really well on a lot of images.
If you use them properly.
Sure.
But that's all dependent on the user.
So let's wind it down and just get an overall on the app itself, Matt. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and ask you to rate it, but your final thoughts on the app.
I'll probably never do any editing in it, but as far as the actual camera features, right now it is my absolute hands-down favorite for the camera.
Mark?
I'm actually going to rate it. Why not? as far as the camera itself goes, easily give it a 9, possibly 10. I'm going to reserve the 10 to see what Camera Plus is going to do. And I think they are going to fight back. They're going to come back swinging, I think. So a 9 for the camera app, negative numbers for the filter and editing software. But that's okay. We got Snapseed for that.
Sure. For me, I love it. I think the actual camera, the photography capture point of the app is great. And like I mentioned, the separation of the two exposure and focus points and being able to lock them off scene is very key for me. I have noticed, and this might be a personal thing, but I have noticed that after getting into using the app, it seems to be a little bit sluggish on startup. Once it gets going, everything works fine, but the initial startup for me seems to be a bit sluggish. So
it's been off and on for me.
So
it's not consistent.
I hope that might get addressed in a, you know, and I'm also on a 4 instead of a 4S, so I don't know if it's processor issues or whatnot. But so that's mine. I love the app, and it's actually I've put it down on my bottom bar and removed. I used to strictly use the native app. I've replaced it with the Camera Awesome app now.
I've done exactly the same thing.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we're gonna move into our final segment here, folks, and that is our. I struggled before the beginning of the show for what to call this because it's basically the pick of the week, but that's what TWIP calls theirs, and I don't want to copy. So or we don't want to copy rather. So we're gonna call it focus points. And basically it's the gist of the pick of the week. It's us choosing one thing related to iPhone photography, and I'm gonna start with you today, Mark.
So we're still going to copy them. We're just calling it something else.
We're calling it something else, but I'm going to relate it to TWIP's pick of the week just this one time, so everybody knows what it is. And thank you very much, TWIP.
I am going to recommend people buy a telephone, one of those old-fashioned telephones.
What the heck was that?
You're fired, dude.
Was that me?
No, I don't know. Who has
it? Was not me. I guarantee that.
That must have been you then.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
Anyway, you're still fired. But no, I'm kidding. My recommendation, actually, I just bought...
it just occurred to me what it is. It was our time.
From Photo Jojo.
It was our timer for the show.
Oh, it's the timer. There we go. See, we're on time. We're winding things down. I'm recommending people buy the telephoto lens from photojojo.com. It's the iPhone telephoto lens. It's a really, really cool lens. A lot of fun to use. I just got it yesterday for my birthday. And
you're already recommending it?
I'm recommending it. It's a lot of fun. It's just really cool to play around with. I'm going to do a full review on it next week. But so that'll be the teaser. But I recommend people buy that. It's really cool. If you're really into the iPhone photography, which you ought to be if you're listening to this.
You should be, right. Matt, your focus point.
I just have two quick tips. The first one is putting whatever camera app you like to use the most on your bottom bar. If you've had an iPhone for more than a day, you've probably noticed that as you swipe through your screens of apps, the apps on your bottom bar are always there. So no matter what page of apps you're on, you have quick access to your camera app. And then the second thing that some people don't know is if you are taking pictures and you need to be kind of sneaky about it, the volume up button on your headphones that came with your iPhone actually trips the shutter on the camera. So you can walk around the city looking like you're listening to music or talking on the phone when actually you're taking pictures the whole time.
My tip of the week, or my pick of the week. What am I calling it? Damn it. My focus point. I don't know. I'm starting to think that's cheesy. My focus point of the week is...
This is a work in progress, yes. People.
I'm going to do two. Since Matt did two, I'm going to do two. And I'm going to piggyback on one of Matt's. Matt mentioned putting your app down on your bottom bar so that it's always there for you, ready to go. Another cool thing to do is if you're out and you are doing street photography type of stuff and you need that app ready to go. Now, obviously, with the iOS 5, I think it is, you can now double tap your home button and it'll bring up your native camera app. But if that's not the app you want to use... and you want to use your Camera Awesome app, another thing you can do, open up your iPhone, open up the Camera Awesome app, and then just click your sleep button or your whatever button up at the top. It'll shut the camera down. I mean, it'll shut the phone down, but now once you start it back up, your phone, once you turn the phone back on, the camera app will already be open and ready to go. Does that make sense?
Perfect. I do that all the time.
There you go. So that's that. And then my other one is an app called No Finder, and I am going to go and find it right now to make sure that I am using the correct name for it.
But you can't, because you can't find it.
No, the name of the app is No Finder, and this is kind of the app that kind of ruined all my dreams. I was going to make my own iPhone app, and basically it was going to be along these lines. And what this is basically just a camera without a viewfinder. And my thing about it is that it kind of takes you back to using a pinhole camera. So, you know, there is an app in the App Store called Pinhole HD or something like that, but it has a viewfinder. And that's not really like using a pinhole camera. This No Finder app is just another step closer to lo-fi. You can't really see. You kind of shoot from the hip, and you kind of have to gauge what you're shooting at. And it just gives you another level of interesting fun and creativity to taking photos. I enjoy it. I pull it out every now and then when I'm playing. I did it this past weekend. I was walking downtown and used it to take some fun apps, and it's cool. Your framing is a little messed up, and it just kind of gives it that extra point of creativity.
You just reminded me which app I need to delete.
Anyway. All right, folks. Well, listen, I hope you enjoyed the first episode of the Tiny Shutter podcast. And this is basically the way the format's going to be every week. It's going to be a weekly show. So don't hesitate. Go to iTunes right now and subscribe. Because if you miss next week's episode, I'm going to blame you because I'm reminding you right now to go to iTunes and subscribe. If you liked it, while you're there, you might as well go ahead and click the 5-star rating. I mean, save yourself a trip back to the iTunes store, right? We're going to be back next.
If we get 100 5-star reviews, then
Matt
will get his heart transplant.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, wow.
You're going to live, boy. Yay! You're going to live.
What was the other thing? Oh, I wanted to tease next week's show. Next week, Mark is going to have his review on the Photo JoJo telephoto lens. And we are also probably going to be touching news-wise on the possible launch of the iPad 3. We don't know that it's going to be an iPad 3. It could be something else. But we're assuming it's the iPad 3, and we'll definitely hit that on the news next week. And what else?
Kind of sucks that we're doing this podcast the day before the announcement.
Right. Tomorrow we'll all be excited about it. But and then, next week everybody's going to be like, yeah, we heard about that last week.
You know what, though? I'm actually – here's the thing how we tie it into iPhone photography. The rumor of it having a better camera app in it, guts in it, I think that's going to really change the game. I think it will make things interesting for the iPhone photography.
Oh, sure. We'll have all sorts of ways to tie it in. Like, can you imagine the extra resolution that could possibly have the Retina display? So now you're talking some serious resolution for editing with Snapseed on the iPad. But yes, we'll get to that next week. So, folks, honestly, if you liked it, do me a favor. Head over there. Do us a favor, rather. Head over and click the 5-star review. Make sure you subscribe. And we're going to close up also with telling you that you can go to tinyshutter.com and get all the links and whatnot from today's show, and you can find out where to find out about Mark, Matt, and myself, but we're also going to tell you that right now. Mark?
Well, you can find me on the web. I'm going to promote my Google Plus page. If you can remember to put a C in Mark, then just do a simple search in Google, the Google Plus, and you'll find me. But you can also find me on the Lens Wipe. It is lens-wipe.com. It's a pretty kick-ass podcast from what I hear.
Yeah, it is a pretty kick-ass podcast, without a doubt. Ooh. Matt?
I'll go ahead and plug my Google Plus page. Just look up Matthew Hoffman, and you'll definitely find me. And then probably the other place to find me is mhoffmanphoto.smugmug.com.
Hey, Smug Mug.
Woo. And yes, I was the first person to find out about Camera Awesome.
It's your fault it got so popular.
You should have said that in the beginning of the show.
Why didn't you jump in?
Do it again.
All right, let's start over. All right.
Where can they find you, Keith?
For me, CameraCampus.com. I'm going to stop right there and let you know that you can find everything that you need to do from me at CameraCampus.com. Don't forget to head to TinyShutter.com. Make sure you share the podcast with your friends. Let them know you found a really kick-butt iPhone photography podcast. And folks,
we promise we'll try to kick-butt.
It's true. And we will reel it back into 30 minutes. Sorry we went a little over this time, but hey, it was the initial, so give us a chance to reel it in next week. And we'll see you next week with iPad news and a telephoto lens from Photo JoJo. Bye, guys.
It's a pilot episode.
It is a pilot episode.
And we're clear.
And clear.
Clear.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, life. This is the podcast devoted.
I like it so far.
Oh, shit.